You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Mina Kimes very casually yesterday said, yes, the Bucs will be in the Super Bowl again this year because all the good quarterbacks are in the AFC and the Bucs defense is great and Tom Brady seems to have picked a good place to land. Billy has been obsessed with the Masked Singer for several years. We have sound now, Billy, of Tom Brady addressing on his Let's Go podcast. Are you excited about this? The rumor of whether or not he was on The Masked Singer. The whole thing seems to be beneath him. I would not think. It seems like an absurd rumor.
I don't think that I'm going to. Let's see what it says, but I'm just going to tell you I'm not going to believe whatever he says.
Okay, very good.
Were you, in fact, perhaps The Masked Singer?
I don't know where they get all these things. So they got to talk about something. It wasn't me. I wasn't masked and I'm not a singer. So that wouldn't really fit my profile. I'm basically good at one thing, which is throwing passes. Other than that, I'm basically worthless.
Thank you. Pro's pro. You see how he took it? You see the little laugh like while he's giving the answer? That's how you do it, Harvard boy.
I mean, Tom Brady is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick at handling everything.
He says he's worthless at everything other than throwing passes. So,
well, you see that Giselle Bundchen is on the cover of Elle, and she is giving voice to a lot of the things about, hey, how about my life? I've taken care of the kids. I've supported Tom. I've been in the cocoon making sure the kids are okay.
What about me?
I'd like to get on with my professional life. She's giving some of those quotes as she now makes a run, as she too, I don't even know what's the most improbable story in their 40s, supermodel at 40 or NFL quarterback at 40. She's still on the cover of magazines, dominating the supermodel game as a person who makes more money than Tom.
What if this is going to be like a really cool, like cold war between them to see who can still be elite at their thing? Anything you can do, I can do better.
Ooh, right? Like Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
That's the movie. I was going to say Night and Day. I was trying to think of the movie. Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah. Is that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt?
Yeah, yep. I think that's... Vile. We don't need to... That's really? What ended that marriage. Of Brad and Bennifer.
Really?
I think so. I think that that's where they met was on the filming of that movie. And then Not to, you know, bring this down or, you know... Sorry.
What were you talking about, Billy, during the break that had all of you guys laughing so much and looking into your phones and gathering around each other guffawing? There was one thing that Amin was looking at.
Is in this which, the chess thing?
Yeah. You mentioned Elon Musk, and I don't know what happened in the chess thing. The most recent chess story that I had read was some robot severed a kid's finger.
What?
A chess-playing kid's finger because the kid moved too fast and the robot that was playing against the kid, it wasn't on purpose, I don't think.
The robot's like, your turn yet.
The robot accidentally, like, injured the kid. What is the chess story you guys were talking about?
So, Metro UK has this tweet out this morning. It says, the world of chess has been rocked by the biggest scandal in years. I just love the notion of chess having scandal.
Well, the last one was a robot cutting off a kid's finger, so this one has to be.
Oh, I mean, this is. I mean, in terms of headlines, I can't imagine.
You're just going to read the headline to
us? Yes. The world of chess has been rocked by the biggest scandal in years after a player allegedly used wireless anal beads and its vibrations to signal his next move.
Erroneous.
Iconic? Let's find out. Click on link.
Erroneous. See, this is what we call smearing gotcha journalism. Pay attention, Harvard board. This is gotcha journalism because the player wasn't accused. This is what happened. You've got the number one chess player in the world lost to a 19-year-old who was, like, ranked 100 and something. Like, it was an improbable upset.
Is that a thing, though? Like, chess is not a thing where you have to be, like, super old to be super great at it, right? Like, you can have a 19-year-old that beats the best in the world.
Sure, but he's talking about rankings.
It's more about the player's pedigree, yeah.
Yeah, he was a low-ranked player, and he beat the number one in the world, right? And so there was a buzz about, was this guy cheating, right? Was he receiving signals? And the kid said, well, I didn't have anything on me. And then Elon Musk weighed in via Twitter and said, what if he had anal beads that wirelessly like buzz? And that's where the guy is getting, he's accused. He wasn't accused of that.
Well, he was accused by Elon Musk.
Yeah, but that's not an accusation we take seriously.
Well, it was in a headline, and it's really just an excuse to put,
gotcha.
Yes, a cheating scandal that involves anal beads in a headline.
And chess, which, you know, of the activities in the world in which one would use wireless anal beads to get an advantage, I did not have chess being that one.
I didn't have an advantage being gained in any form of anything by wireless anal beads, except perhaps sex.
I mean, I guess if we're saying that they could potentially allow you to gain a strategic advantage, I can imagine something like poker would be one where, like, if you're trying to read body language or something like that, I'm trying to entertain the possibility. But the whole thing just makes absolutely no sense.
Can you imagine hearing the vibrations in the chair? Like, just like that? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I think it's got to be a little more subtle.
It has to. It has
turn
to
down that
subtle.
Setting, Roy.
I think that's
a good one. Down to three or four.
Somebody, the metal chair.
Somebody who likes it a little bit vigorous. Oh, wow. You have it as a folding chair, a metal folding chair.
Yeah.
Evan is something that you could, like, get a massage from in a sharper image.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like the only sharper image. Are they still open? Are sharper images still succeeding?
No.
Is that like an online store now?
I think they filed for bankruptcy.
What's the other one? What was their Brookfield or what?
Brookstone.
Still.
I had to. You guys will be amused by this. I had no success. My poor wife. I had no success traveling a Miami Beach sporting goods store, Ross, TJ Maxx, Target, trying to find an athletic protector so that yesterday's Kane costume wouldn't be internet friendly and allow everyone to see my junk through those tight red pants. And so my poor wife had to invent a championship belt just to protect that region of my body because I was never able to get a protective cup. But as I was walking through all of these stores, I thought to myself, how are any of these places still open given that so many people are now finding this stuff cheaper on Amazon and just getting delivered to their house?
Wait a minute. You can find in a cup at Dick's, pardon the pun?
Dick's was not on the beach. The sporting goods store on the beach is not Dick's. But no, I would have been able to find one in a sporting goods store. I cannot tell you how appalling and sad the sporting goods sections are at Ross and TJ Maxx.
Oh,
I
mean, man.
They're not sporting goods stores.
They just happen to sell cleats in the shoe section.
No, but they have a couple things where it's like, maybe I can find something there. And you go through, it's like,
They had a lot of things I didn't want and would have never thought to look for.
No, you're doing
athletic,
it wrong.
An athletic cup would have been something that I would have more expected to find there than some of the things I did find there.
Is this the Ross?
You've
and TJ Maxx right there at Lincoln,
yes.
On Lincoln?
No, it's not the one on Lincoln. It's on 5th over here.
Okay, the one on Lincoln, by the way, that's where I said, I've never caught COVID this whole time, but if I catch it, it will happen at that Ross. Because
you went to the Total Wine to get some liquor, probably, right?
No, because I was just stuck in there. No, I went to the one on Lincoln.
Ah.
The one on Lincoln, and it was so gross in there. It's the grossest store I've ever been in my life.
Yes, it is.
Do overnight at Ross, instead of picking clothes up, they throw more on the floor?
Yeah, that's the
you guys are
Sebastian,
the worst.
Sebastian Maniscalco had that bit. He's like, this is how people shop at Ross. He's like, huh, not my size. just hurls it everywhere.
Yes, they do.
You don't appreciate the glory that is Ross, TJ Maxx, and then you toss in a Marshalls.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was trying to buy underwear, and all I wanted was just a pack of underwear in my size that hadn't been torn asunder and had exactly one removed. I'm like, what happened?
Why didn't you go to Target?
What?
Why didn't you go to, like, Target?
I'm foot, man. I'm not trying to, like, travel everywhere, Uber everywhere. This is, you know?
I actually, do you remember the day that you actually made me walk into the ocean wearing jeans? Yeah. So after that, I went to go find a change of clothes. Apparently, there is nowhere to buy underwear within 7 blocks of this place. I ended up buying a pair of underwear that goes like halfway down my legs and has this incredibly psychedelic design. I look at that pair of underwear and go, when would I ever wear this again? I guess other than the fact that nobody can see this, but it is the strange, and it's only because there is no conventional pair of underwear to be found within 7 blocks.
You're
of this
doing
place.
It wrong.
Do you guys have good underwear?
Yes, I do. I invested in underwear.
No, I'm not saying like good underwear, like good quality underwear. I'm saying like the good underwear, meaning, oh, I'm wearing these tonight just in case. Like,
no.
I mean, yeah. You've got a pair of underwear that's better than all
like
of your underwear.
Show underwear.
Your fancy underwear, the ones that you want to, if you want to have a big night of romance.
My underwear drawer is divided into 3 sections. Section 1 is what I call the everyday draws. Just, these are just like...
The meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes. Gets up in the morning, doesn't get the job done, right? Section 2 is the lesser caliber, which I reserve for athletics. So if I'm going to go running, if I'm going to do something that's physical, I'm not like, I don't care about these.
Those require, I would say, better underwear.
No.
Because you don't want to be uncomfortable.
No.
I want to have good underwear when I'm participating
this
in athletics.
This is his drawer
this
of drawers,
is, yeah,
not
is,
yours.
We'll go through yours next.
Yes. And then,
calm down.
And then the third most hallowed section. This is like the nice stuff, right?
Satin?
Not satin. Wow. It's just like, you know how like you go buy some Hanes, the 8-pack, and then they'll include 2 for free. It always says 2 free ones, and 2 free ones will be that the moisture wicking, da-da-da. I'm like, oh, these are the ones that like when it's a night out on the town,
yeah,
you know, put these on. And so... This section over here is off to the side. So whenever I travel, I typically like to grab a potpourri, like a little bit of these. You know, what if I want to be...
Do you close your eyes to surprise yourself? Like you make your hand like the claw game and you're like, let me see what I grab.
By the way, the athletic section isn't always about comfort. Sometimes it's, you know, you buy a pack of underwear and it comes, one is like this ridiculous color. I'm like, I can't wear this lime green pair of underwear, but
why?
I will if I'm playing that. I don't know. I just don't like it.
I'm wearing neon orange underwear right now.
Show us.
You don't believe me?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
What's the brand? Sava?
That wasn't a very flattering
show
shot.
Us?
Yeah.
You showed me your belly button as well.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. I'm going to get fat shamed later. I've been told by many people on the internet that the pandemic was not good to my body. And I said, thank you for sharing.
You say not pandemic, it's fatherhood.
That's really what it is.
It's a combination.
If we're going to be honest with you.
Well, let's talk about this for a second.
I'm fat, Dan.
Well, we haven't talked enough about...
Best thing that's happened to me in the past couple months for my body weight was getting kidney stones and then a bout of diarrhea the next week.
Ooh. Bout?
Yeah, I lost like 7 pounds.
It was like a ding, ding, ding. And that's Carter weighing in at 198 pounds.
Round one.
Billy, go... In the other corner, with the prior record of 238,634,933,317-1, he is the undisputed, unified world champion, Diarrhea!
What was the one loss?
Against Amino Hassan back in 2012.
You beat the Rhea.
I held it.
Congratulations. This that is more than I want
to
know.
We don't need to get any further,
go
but
sit
you
in the penalty
not,
box.
You could not have held it.
Wow. Go sit
that
in the penalty
didn't happen.
Box.
Billy, I fought it.
Billy.
I can go with him if you want.
No, I don't want you to go. I want you to tell me your fatherhood experience, how it has changed you. We have not talked nearly enough. Not about, I'm not going to fat shame you or any of that stuff, but we have not talked enough about how it has changed your life or you're a fearful creature without having something around the house every day.
I don't have time to be afraid anymore.
Actively trying to kill itself.
No, I don't have time to be afraid anymore. That's just, I don't have time to do anything. I can't even go to the bathroom without hearing little knocks on the door, little scratches, occasionally my name, and it's like, hey, personal space, okay? Like, daddy's doing number two right now, or daddy's doing number one right now, or daddy's just sitting here quietly, and the toilet's not even open, and he's like in a fetal position in the bathtub trying to cry right now. Exactly, daddy's just trying. We need a little quiet time here, okay, baby?
Wait until they start learning how to open the door. Oh, there ain't no more knocking.
No, that, I mean, I need to, yes, that's happening where we're getting on our tippy toes and we're reaching up and we're grabbing the handle and we're pushing doors open. It's like, I just closed that door. The other day, Dan, I'll tell you what happened. And I didn't know because we're now in the area where it's like, is this cute or is this defiance? You know what I mean? Like, is this insubordination or is this adorable? The other day, one of my two doggies, not very good doggy. So I said, you know what? You're going to timeout. So we went and we put the doggy in timeout and we just put the doggy in a room and we closed the door. And then my little daughter waddled over and opened the door and let the doggy out. And I said, that doggy was in timeout. But that was so cute.
Timeout needs to be respected, right?
But it was so cute.
This happens all the time. Dan, so you're angry, so but you're
cute,
smiling.
So I couldn't say anything.
All right. So Mike Scher is a father, and he's going to help us here with stat of the day and tell us where, Billy, which way do you go on adorable or insubordinate? Mike, how do you navigate? How did you navigate this with your kids when they were younger?
Can I just say that when I first got in here, and I heard Billy saying that, like, he heard footsteps and stuff like that. Weren't you recently talking about how your house was haunted or there was a ghost in your house?
I thought you were talking about the ghost.
I thought the ghost was coming into the bathroom.
I'll have you know, it's been double confirmed that there is a ghost in my house. One by a tarot card reader and the other by Ricky Williams. So two people have told me that there's likely a ghost in my house. And I'm glad that that's what you listened to and not moments before you joined where we were talking about diarrhea and I showed my underwear and then I was worried about getting fat shamed. So thank you for joining us.
Adorable.
Show's been very poop heavy the last couple days.
Heavy.
This is a means fault, I would say. It's certainly not me who's doing this. Adorable or insubordinate on the young kids?
It's both. That's the problem. But you have to treat it like it's insubordinate. You can later tell the story as you're doing now and find it adorable. But in the moment, I think you have to be like, we don't do that. That's insubordinate.
So,
and definitely use the word insubordinate with a toddler because that'll work.
That's how I would. That's my question to you as a father. So I don't know where the disciplining and the reasoning starts, right? Because my daughter right now is 15 months old. So like, I don't think there's any reasoning with her at the moment. So it's kind of like, you're not going to understand why I'm upset. I can't explain. It's the same thing like when you go to take them to the doctor and they're sick or whatever. And it's like, take this medicine. It will make you feel better. And they just spit it out. It's like, she doesn't understand what I'm trying to tell her. She just doesn't like it. So I think that I'm pre-disciplined right now, but I don't know where the line is because once, you know, it's a slippery slope. Once I don't discipline, then it's just going to get away from me entirely.
Yeah, I think you just, you act as if they understand you, I think. And it's as much for your own practice as it is for anything else. But you like explain in the best childlike reasoning you can why you're doing what you're doing. They won't understand you, but it gives you the practice of saying like, here's how I handle these sorts of situations. And then you know, and then they're going to do it again. Like she's good. Whatever you tell her not to do, she's going to do it again tomorrow. You're right. There's no way for her to intellectually understand that you don't let the dog out when the dog is in a certain room.
One of the ways for her to never understand it is for you in front of her to find it adorable.
I mean, you have to take a picture and say, that's so cute, baby. You're such a cutie.
Let's go ahead and do the stat of the day.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
Have we been talking about Brett Favre at all today?
I was just going to ask you about him, actually. I really was. It was going to be my first question when you were done with Stat of the Day. Rummaging through welfare funds to build volleyball stuff for his daughter is just unbelievable.
Let's first of all, let's credit Anna Wolf and the other journalists at Mississippi Today who have been on the story for like 2.5 years. So it now appears that in addition to sexually harassing Jen Sturger until she was driven away from the New York Jets and getting paid $1 million for essentially a no-show job, that legendary gunslinger Brett Favre and the former governor of Mississippi, Phil Bryant, conspired to pay him $5 million out of the state's welfare funds to build a new volleyball stadium at the University of Southern Miss, where, weirdly, coincidentally, Favre's daughter happened to be playing volleyball. But listen, I'm not Billy Corbin, okay? I'm here to talk stats. And I want to give you some Brett Favre. I want to give you some Brett Favre stats. Brett Favre is the all-time NFL leader in both interceptions with 336 and fumbles with 166. He had 502 turnovers in only 302 games. Now, granted, he didn't lose all those fumbles, but he still fumbled 166 times. He had 59 more interceptions than George Blanda, who played football until he was 48 years old. He had six seasons where he had as many or more interceptions than he did touchdowns. His career passer rating is the same as Trent Green, who played in the same era. But here is the only Brett Favre stat you need. Brett Favre has the same career passes interception rate as Jameis Winston. 3.3% of both of their passes were picked off. He is Jameis Winston, but he played longer. So in conclusion, Dan, Brett Favre, you know what they say? He was like a kid out there on the field in that he threw the ball the way a kid would throw it, where it could be easily picked off by the defense. In conclusion, Brett Favre, compiler. That is my accusation. Compiler.
Wow. And you're probably right. Those are stunning stats. I saw that somebody, I think it was, yeah, it was Steven Ruiz, was complaining, hey, you know what? Save me all the Geno Smith stories about how heartwarming it was that he worked his way to a second chance and gets a win on Monday Night Football when I've seen Brock Osweiler and Blake Bortles and Blaine Gabbert ruin franchises for years because they just stuck with them. And Geno Smith had to figure out, had to stick around long enough to be able to get another chance. I wanted to ask you not only about Favre desecrating everything that he's been, because it's fairly startling to see a guy... On Monday Night Football, after the death of his dad, I don't know it's possible for an athlete to be regarded with more warmth than America was thinking of Brett Favre. The whole game has changed. The quarterback who took over the Packers in his stead changed it by only getting intercepted 5 times a year. And now how right. are we supposed to be remembering Brett Favre, eternal legend, Hall of Famer?
I got to be honest with you. I never quite understood it at the time in a number of ways. All I saw when I saw Brett Favre was a guy who recklessly, game after game after game, threw the ball into triple coverage and was picked off. It happened all the time. It happened with the Jets at the end of his career. It happened with the Packers. The second that he left, the Packers had a better quarterback who had been sitting on the sidelines for 4 years or whatever, waiting for him to retire. He kept not retiring. And he kept just getting picked off every year in the playoffs. He was like 13-11 career in the playoffs with a bunch of teams that should have gone way farther. That is the weird thing about Green Bay is we're now back-to-back quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks, who everybody thinks should have won a lot more in the playoffs than they did. But Favre, everyone would just say, like, that's what you love about the guys. He's a gunslinger, is that he takes risks. And it was like, no, that's bad. That's bad to do that. Like, It was good when it worked and it was terrible when it didn't work, and it didn't work way more than it worked. I mean, the guy won one Super Bowl over a completely outmatched Patriots team and mostly won that Super Bowl because of like kickoff returns and punt returns. And every other season that he had ended in disappointment caused by him. It wasn't like other quarterbacks whose teams fall apart around them. He was the reason in many, many years that his team didn't win. I looked this up too. Everybody thinks of Brett Favre as a clutch, right? You think about like, fourth quarter comebacks, like late game heroics. He had 28 fourth quarter comebacks in his career. You know who had 29 fourth quarter comebacks in his career? Vinny Testaverde. Like, Brett Favre is not the guy that everybody remembers. And frankly, when he played that game on Monday night after his dad died, I didn't think that was cool. I mean, my attitude was like, okay, if that's the way he grieves and heals, who am I to think that's bad? But I was like, what are you doing? Go be with your family. Don't be playing football. Like, I thought that was an odd choice. And I thought it was even more odd the way everybody celebrated it, as if it was obviously the right decision. That didn't seem like the right decision to me. Again, I don't know how the man grieves or processes grief. I'm not saying he was wrong. I just thought it was weird that we universally decided in America, oh yes, that is heroic. It didn't seem heroic to me. It seemed weird and like a sad thing to do.
Oh, it fits so well, though, in all of the sports stuff and escapism that we do. What do you do with Lamar Jackson, given that his record, and we still do this today, winning at that position, except if you're Lamar Jackson, is the measurement of how good you are. Lamar Jackson's record through 50 games is the same as Tom Brady's through his first 50 games. And before the season starts, he says nope to $250 million because he wants more of it guaranteed. And everyone is noticing, well, wait, if Deshaun Watson gets all the guaranteed money, then Lamar Jackson, once that precedent has been set, then Lamar Jackson is going to want all his money guaranteed. But it's dangerous to guarantee money to a guy who plays that physical style at that position. So you see what's happening with Lamar Jackson and think what?
I think he deserves to be paid all of the money that he wants to be paid, given how good he is and how good he's been as a quarterback. I further think that if, like, Jimmy Garoppolo is getting paid whatever he's getting paid to back up whoever he's backing up now, and if Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt as he does all the time, that the fact that that Lamar Jackson is a mobile quarterback and has like higher injury risk, Jimmy Garoppolo, all these guys get injured. Everybody gets injured. And the NFL Players Union, if it were a better union and they had more sort of willingness to fight back and just went on strike every year, I think they should be wildcat striking every year, like on the Saturday before the first game of the season. And the thing that they should be arguing for first and foremost is guaranteed money. And I think he's absolutely right to want it. And I think he deserves it. And I think he should get it. And because these careers are too short and the game is too tough and they demand too much of these people. And as you've said many times, they're too disposable. And if I were Lamar Jackson, I was good at being quarterback as Lamar Jackson, I would say, no, I want more money and I want it all guaranteed. And I'm not going to play for you unless you give it to me, because someone will give him more than they offered. And that team will become better because he's a better quarterback than whoever that team currently has at the position.
Is John Madden singularly responsible for everything you just described about Brett Favre?
I think he's a huge factor. Yes. I think that the entire country was enthralled by John Madden. And I think John Madden was enthralled by Brett Favre, and the way that John Madden said Brett Favre in that weird voice that he had, and his like manly, rugged, barrel chested tones. And the fact that Favre was constantly playing in those games, I think that John Madden was a huge factor in everyone deciding that Brett Favre was actually great. And in fact, he was wildly overrated. I'm so glad that Brett Favre has been exposed as a person who stole $5 million in welfare money from the state of Mississippi to build a volleyball stadium, because it's allowing me to grind an axe I've had for so long about how overrated that guy was.
A second such crime by Brett Favre, where he just steals from poor people. It's not even the first of these.
It's not. He was given like $500,000 or maybe $1 million. It's unclear, to do like some ads for the tourism bureau or something, which he maybe did, but maybe didn't really do. The funniest thing is this text that came out. You should all go look it up if you haven't already. Yes. The text is like, there's a text from him to someone involved in this scandal where he says, hey, let me ask you a question. If you pay me, will the media ever find out where the money is coming from? And they're like, no, don't worry about it. And I put this on Twitter yesterday, but if you're ever in the position where you're texting a government official and saying like, hey, if you give me public money, will anyone ever know where it came from? You're doing something wrong with your life.
And also, don't text that.
Yeah, don't text it. Yeah, how Paper dumb journal. Do you have to be? All of these people recently, there's been this major trend of people putting their crimes in writing, which I guess, thank you for making it easy. But this is strike like seven for Brett Favre. Like, I don't know that anyone has ever, after his career has ended, squandered more goodwill than Brett Favre has. Maybe Schilling. Okay, O.J. Simpson. That's fair.
I'm now wondering if Mike has like this secret list of other people in sports who bothered him who like would conveniently
grind some axes.
It'd be great if they conveniently had a downfall so he could publicly come after them.
That would be great. I'm not going to say who they are. If another one of these people gets involved in a scandal, I will come on and just.
How many of them wore pinstripes professionally?
Not a crazy amount, probably like 120.
Okay, I can't wait to discover these over time. Has Hollywood been shaken by Brian Cox of Succession coming out and saying that they're not going to last and overstay their welcome too long, like Billions?
Oh, I didn't see that. He said that?
Yes. So evidently Hollywood hasn't been shaken by it, although you're shaken laughing at it right now. That's exactly what Brian Cox should be saying as that character, the lead on Succession.
Brian Cox rules and has ruled for a long time. He's so funny, that guy, and such a good actor. As far as I'm concerned, he can say whatever he wants to say. It's very funny to say to name check another show when you talk about wanting to get off the air. That's very funny. But no, I had not heard that. So you broke that news to me. But Jesse Armstrong, who created that show, gave a quote last year where I don't think he came out and said it, but I think he definitely indicated that this was not going to be we're not looking at many, many more seasons of the show. I don't remember exactly what he said, but that's been in the air for a while.
He also used the very British expression of calling Billions, quote, past its sell-by date.
Fantastic.
He, in his 2021 memoir, Putting the Rabbit in the Hat, Brian Cox called Johnny Depp, quote, overblown, overrated. Called Ed Norton, quote, a pain in the arse. Called Steven Seagal, quote, as ludicrous in real life as he appears on screen. And characterized Quentin Tarantino's films as, quote, all surface plot mechanics in place of depth.
Yeah, that biography that came out, he just like ripped everyone. I haven't read it, but I've heard it's just like it's a hold, no holds barred autobiography. It
seems
sounds
like
great.
A very cantankerous man.
Yeah, off. That's all he does. That's like his signature.
That should be the name of the biography. Yeah.
That's his signature. He's telling Billions to f*** off. He's telling Tarantino to f*** off. He's telling Ed Norton to f*** off.
That's the dream. The dream is to get to an age and a status level where you can write a whole book and just say that over and over again to everyone you want to say it to.
I think Mike Martz is applying for that role now. Mike Martz was quoted yesterday as coming after Justin Fields. I can't remember which he said which about, but he said either Trey Lance or Justin Fields has no skills, and he said the other one can't play at all. Mike Martz has decided to put his name on Trey Lance and Justin Fields don't know what they're doing.
Mike Bart's another, I would say, underachieving head coach / offensive coordinator, given the talent that he had to work with over the years and the amount that he actually won. I don't think you can do the F off book when you're Brian Cox and you're the lead actor on the best show on TV. I don't know if you could do it if you're Mike Martz right now.
How did it just disappear? I guess perhaps to Mike Schur's point, he was wildly overrated because he was coach of the Bears. And then I feel like he was in the every like non-NFL food league, AFL and the USFL. I feel like he's coached in every single one of those. He just fell off the face of the earth after having the best offense in football.
He used to be the genius, the evil genius, yeah. Mike Martz,
the greatest show on turf.
Now he's and what do they win? What did they win? Mm. Who did they lose to that year, the first year when they were upset? Oh, that's right. My New England Patriots.
Oh, Jesus. Get him out of here. Write that on that note. Cut his microphone. Get him out of here. And I'm thinking about ending the entire segment. Get out. You know what? Off.
Please
off, Mike Schur.
Please end it. I can't keep getting up at 5 in the morning to do these stats of the day.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
What did Stugatz just text you, Mike? While Bob Costas was talking very eloquently about the things that are producing anxiety in America and beyond, what did he text you?
Yeah, during your enlightened conversation, I got a text from Stugatz that said, Todd Gurley Ravens, to which we all had to search for what he meant, because there's no report saying that Todd Gurley signed with the Ravens. He was just texting me about a visit Todd Gurley is presently having with the Baltimore Ravens.
According to Adam Schefter, I think they I think it's a 1-year deal now, Mike, so he gets a chance to prove himself again. Right, it's a big deal, Mike. Todd Gurley to the Ravens.
One-year prove it. Love a one-year
prove it deal.
Stugatz.
It's just so he says it was Adam Schefter. So I look at Adam Schefter's Twitter account, couldn't find anything. Jess went and tracked down the tweet. Mm-hmm. Here are the red flags on this account. One, the handle, Spots Centra.
But you realize you can read that very, very quickly and think it's, you know, it's...
Mistake number one. Mistake number two, there was no check mark. It was that thing that people do to try and fool people of the white circle that kind of looks like the check mark, but is not. Sign number three, the avatar... It's the SportsCenter logo, but in fairly sizable print above it is the word not. All the red flags, and yet Stugatz is still going. Todd Gurley, Ravens buddy.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I want to get to some Emmy-related stuff in a second here because I am not the demo for these award shows. Outside of Chris Rock being slapped, this is not a space that I've been spending any time in seeing Hollywood decorate itself. So I know some of you are interested in it, though less so than ever before, it seems like, from the ratings. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you guys and Amin, as a leadership exercise, when Nathaniel Hackett has a decision that he makes in his debut that is about as bad as you will ever see, when a coach is deciding in his first game something that is costing the game at the end, you're used to Russell Wilson having creativity at the end of games. You're used to people fearing Russell Wilson coming down the field at the end of games. And Nathaniel Hackett not only stepped into that and decided, nope, a 64-yard field goal is best for us in my debut, but mismanaged the whole end of the game, then defended it afterward. Russell Wilson said publicly, quarterback speak, he agreed with the decision as well. And then the blowback is so strong that Nathaniel Hackett says, never mind. After further review, I blew it. I mean, what's the right way for a leader to handle any of that? Because I think that once you've done day one of I'm doubling down on I was stupid, I'm not sure you buy yourself anything with the admission the next day, given what we just saw, given it was an epic collapse, it was your first game, you've created distrust by looking like a boob at the end of the game and neutering Russell Wilson. When you come back the next day and say, yeah, my bad, under normal circumstances, I would say the admission and saying that buys you something. I'm not sure in football leadership it does, though. And I don't know whether I'm wrong or not, but when I heard it, I'm like, good of him to go ahead and say, you know what, I got that wrong, but I don't think it buys him anything with his fan base.
Hey, I made a mistake. Oh, come on. It all happened. You guys haven't made a mistake on your first day on the job? What?
That's what you're going to continue this role-playing bit thinking it worked so well the first three times you did this when it didn't work any of the times?
It's the most effective teaching tool we have at our disposal, Dan. It allows people to transport themselves from a merely intellectual conversation to an actual visceral feeling. Oh, wow, I'm the reporter. He's the coach. That's how he handled it. It's miles better method of teaching than just talking.
Let's do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're Nathaniel Hackett. I'm a reporter.
Again, we're doing this.
We're at the press conference.
All right, hold on. Any questions?
Coach, do you regret your decision to attempt a 64-yard field goal at the end of the game on Monday night, now knowing that you lost the game?
Hey, It's all right. You know, hindsight's 20/20. If I had done had it another way, I probably could have done it the other way. You know, but look, hey, we would play the results, and the results weren't what they needed to be. So we'll just be back next week, and we'll be better.
Isn't that what he did?
No, he didn't laugh. Laugh.
Hey, you need to laugh.
That's the key.
That chuckle is needed. Yes.
The chuckle undercuts any tension and makes everyone relax. Like, oh, you know what? He's right. This isn't that serious.
It makes him look even dumber.
No.
Like, you're laughing now, it off?
What made him look dumber was wasting all of those timeouts with 3 seconds and 4 seconds and 1 second left for no reason.
Coach, why did you waste all those timeouts with 3 seconds, 4 seconds, and then 1 second remaining?
Jess, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. I just felt like at the time we needed to reset what we were doing out there. But, you know, I mean, hell, I could have used them at the end, huh? Yeah. It's something to take into account as we move on in week two.
I totally believe in your leadership.
I think if you're him, you go with a dad joke there. You're like, yeah, can't take them to the next game.
I don't know the right way to handle any of that once you've lost the game that way.
But it's not that.
I don't think the right way
you don't
is.
Think so? I mean, I guess like in any human realm, if you someone laugh. Made a mistake and they owned up to it, like that's a good thing. That's a trait that I want in a leader.
No.
But I think it's like in particular, there's something about the way that he looks as well, where he just looks like a coach that you want to hate. And everyone watching that game viscerally felt, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And that's the worst possible feeling you can have. And then to then acknowledge, I didn't know what I was doing in front of a nationally televised audience. There's just something about that position in that job that doesn't lend itself to it.
Yeah. You got to pull a Stu Gotts there and just double down and be like, nah, it was the right call. I'll kick a field goal from 80 yards. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Trust my guy, Brandon McManus.
That's it. Exactly.
Double
right.
down.
Or you just, this is another thing that you do. You just say the numbers said. Just say that a lot, and
but
then
it's
people
not,
go, oh,
no, the
numbers didn't say that, though.
No, the just, numbers
no,
were
but
the
you just,
opposite.
Although,
my numbers
lied.
Said it.
I threw it in practice. The numbers said. My sheet said. No, the numbers said. And then you just always say that.
You don't like my numbers? Make your own numbers.
No, that's what you say. You say, you want me to show you the numbers? Oops, can't.
Yeah.
Proprietary.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's exactly right.
So true.
Gotcha.
So we just stink as a culture in admitting that we're wrong?
Yeah, you got to lie there.
Absolutely.
You can't admit
stuff.
You didn't learn from
Trump. Jokes aside, they've done studies on this. I remember I learned about this in grad school. They've done studies about this.
I wish I'd gotten this part before the jokes. I wish you had dismissed the asides as an aside and gotten to this part. This is the part I was asking you about.
So they found that when you own up to mistakes, the thing that we all hold in great esteem, admit when you're wrong, stand up like a, you know, whatever, like a grown up, put on your big person pants and all that. What ends up happening is you get blamed. And the people who eventually skate and move past it are the ones who deflect, deny, dodge, dip, and basically act like Stu Gotts. That is the way in corporate America to rise to the charts, is to not accept blame and not take responsibility or ownership or accountability of anything.
Blame others
wrong.
Even.
Yep.
You didn't want me to kick that field goal? Russ should have gotten it on third down. His fault.
Yeah. How about this? How about he gets me a first down next
mm-hmm.
time?
Do you guys remember when like the worst thing you could call a politician was a flip-flopper?
Oh, we've done this.
John Kerry?
We've done this show.
Oh, man. I must have been out. I mean, it's amazing because I mean, maybe the tides have shifted in terms of like holding people accountable now seems to be like the trendy thing and being like, you know what? I was wrong. And then everyone's like, all right, cool. We forgive you. But I don't know if that actually happens.
They'll call you a flip flopper. I say, oh, you before he said it was this. Now he says this. Make up your mind. Which one is it? That's the political ad, by the way. It's like they always go, which one is it?
I think that what's happened with the shamelessness of what is happening right now everywhere throughout scandal is that no one can keep track of all of the inconsistencies. And now you just keep lying and you just pollute people with just you're questioning one inconsistency and you're getting now 10 more and you just can't keep up with it. And we're not I don't know how that happened or when it happened, but it makes me long for a time 15 years ago in the quaintness of flip-flopping.
When that happened, it sits next to you every day and it sat next to you every day for 18 years.
Even going back, I don't think there's ever like the head of a massive thing that you're like, you know what? That person f***ed up royally, but then said, you know what? I made a mistake. Let's make them in charge because they owned up to that giant f*** up that cost us all this money and ruined the company because they were honest. I don't think that ever happens.
So the only successful people you're saying are
liars,
the people who
cheats.
Double down
yeah.
and are like, I didn't do anything wrong. Your mm-hmm. interpretation of what I did is wrong.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, look around. Look at who's in charge of everything. Look who rises to the top. It's always someone who's got a lack of scruples going on,
mm-hmm.
right? Like low on the scruple meter. That's what gets you ahead. I'm sorry, kids, if you're listening right now, everything mom and dad are telling you about being a good and decent person, it's incorrect.
It's a great graduation speech. I hope I get a chance to make a graduation speech where I get to tell people, you know what? Reduce your scruples. You'll climb higher. Reduce your principles. Enough with this Pollyanna, behave the right way. The way to be a billionaire is to make sure that you feed and profit off of injustice.
And also, accountability is huge. Culpability is huge. So it's your job to make sure to hold everybody else accountable and culpable for
things. Others, exactly.
Not you, mm-hmm. though. Don't ever turn that laser onto yourself. It's always outward. Pew, 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 pew. So look around. Look to your left. Look to your right. Blame one of these people before you're done today.
Were those lasers you were shooting?
What pew, was pew, pew, pew,
those
pew.
Are accountability lasers, yeah. Dan. Yeah.
This whole conversation is maybe very sad. About the state of our being.
I think you only get away with that if you're super wealthy or powerful, though. I think if you're a regular guy.
That's how you get there. That's how they got there.
Which is mostly white guys. Yeah, Roy.
Exactly.
I think if you're like a regular person, like everyone hates you.
Isn't it wild?
Oh, no, I didn't say you're going to be liked.
No, you're not.
You're not going to be liked.
You're a horrible person. Like, there's very different things between success and like success is a huge, like, you're a terrible person that no one's going to like and everyone's going to MF all the time.
Yes, but you'll be successful.
Yeah.
In the words of the great movie American Gangster, your success is gonna shot at you. What are you gonna do? You're gonna be unsuccessful? Frank, you could be unsuccessful and have lots of friends. We could be successful and have enemies. That was Armand Asante talking to the
Yes, it was.
Has he ever won an Emmy?
Armand Asante? I'm
trying to do a transition here.
Oh.
You have exhibited bad judgment again and again today.
Jess?
I mean, it's pumpkin season. I'm a little high on life right now, all right?
I was talking to Amin, Jess. Don't allow him to put that on you.
I was covering for him.
You were worse, Dan.
You were saying of the Emmys, I think you're the only one here who was interested in the Emmys among us.
Well, I half watched the Emmys, half watched Monday Night Football because it's tough to go up against the first Monday Night Football game of the weekend.
While shopping and TikTok.
I was also on, I haven't really online shopped in a few months, believe it or not. I actually don't really buy that much online, but I like to look and see what's out there.
Amazon doesn't count, right? For the
I don't use Amazon very often.
What?
I probably place like one or two Amazon orders every
day.
3 months.
I go to the store.
I love going to the store. Very old fashioned thing about me. Love a store. Love walking in, smelling things, touching things. I always accidentally pull things off the hangers and my friends get really embarrassed. I have like a very like, I like to fiddle with things a lot. I like to see something before I buy it. I don't like having to buy shit and I hate returning stuff because the post office is a nightmare. Anywho, I was watching Monday Night Football and the Emmys at the same time while on TikTok. Yes, I will admit I did that. And the Emmys, I gotta say, my main takeaway, Better Call Saul, 46 nominations, still has not won a single award.
Really?
That was my main takeaway.
I'm still angry.
All of the winners of the awards that went up against Better Call Saul were very deserving, and so it's not a knock on them. But how do you get nominated 46 times and not even win one just for like sound mixing or something?
With Susan Lucci, was that her name?
Yeah.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
You, Jessica, there have been a couple of shockers today. As a 9 p.m. sleeper and someone who needs to fiddle with things at a mall, makes you about 50 years older than you actually are.
Thank you. I love dead shows, too.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan
or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.